This is Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of industry leaders and examining the impact of social media on marketing.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I have Darren Aftahi, who's a Vice President of Equity Research for Digital Media for a firm called Think Equity Partners, and they're a global investment bank. They're based in San Francisco, but Darren and I are talking, he's in Minneapolis today. But the whole focus of the show is going to be on the online video market and where it's headed, how big it is, and how big it's going to be, because as we're seeing with YouTube and some of the other sites, video is really big, and the more video you do, supposedly the more viral. But that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today, and Darren's going to be giving us his opinion. So with that long introduction, Darren, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thank you.
So my first question is just if you could give us some statistics on the market and where it's headed and how big it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat hard to quantify, but in terms of how large it was, just to give you some perspective, I mean, for instance, last year there were 28 billion streamed videos in the U.S. That's up from roughly around 21 billion the
wow.
year before. Worldwide broadband users number over 200 million. That number is expected to double in the next 4 years. And then in terms of if you're trying to categorize the size of the market in terms of all aspects of video, it's not just specifically online video, but you need to look at the infrastructure delivery market, so people like content delivery networks such as Akamai who deliver content, video ASP providers who actually enable web publishers to monetize their digital video assets, as well as online video advertising and sort of the download-to-own market. If you aggregate that, it's roughly $1.5 billion as of 2006, and that market, based on sort of third-party projections, is expected to grow to $15 billion by 2010, and I think that number is probably conservative at best.
$15 billion?
Yes.
Wow. So when you say it's conservative best, why is that? Because you just think people don't actually really grasp the fact that it's going to be even more powerful and more viral?
Well, one, trying to project a market that's sort of in terms of convergence, you know, 4 years out, you're effectively going to be wrong, you know, 9 out of 10 times. I think it's wrong on the conservative side. Plus, I think that $15 billion number doesn't take into account things like e-learning. I think in the future that video will be a very prevalent part of video sort of podcasting, if you will, for long-distance learning. And I think the video advertising market is going to be much larger than what people are projecting, because right now you have a roughly $400 million market, but the demand is outstripping supply roughly at a 2-to-1 rate. And I just think as more content is put online, people will find more unique ways to monetize it via advertising, not so much like the pre- and post-roll they're using today.
So what's your perspective on using video versus just audio online?
Well, you know, I think video is a more engaging experience because it captures the viewer's attention, kind of simply put. You know, typically if someone is listening to something, they can be doing something else. For instance, I listen to a lot of, webcasts, which are just audio-based, but I tend to focus my time either on something else, reading an article, or even talking on the phone sometimes. So being able to multitask, but I think if you're watching a video, it tends to keep your focus in a more acute manner. As the convergence of digital pervades the world, I think you're going to see more uses of digital video everywhere, not just on the computer screen, as the cost of delivery and bandwidth permit it. For example, one area in which I think people don't sort of think about the use of video is one, e-learning, and more specifically, as I said before, distance learning. I think if a student were to just learn via audio, it falls short of engaging the student, in the entire learning experience. But the ability to deliver, a classroom across the world is something that is effectively never been able to be done. But, I think while audio is someone could lose some of the attention, video is just a more engaging dynamic in terms of the medium.
So how do you think that it will get to the point, though, that distribution will be a lot easier? I mean, I know today you've really got to kind of finagle to actually get audio online and get it distributed virally, et cetera. It's not that easy. What do you think will happen there?
In terms of video, I mean, it's still a growth process. I mean, the infrastructure to support this is moving at a fast pace, but obviously not fast enough just because of the viral nature of video. More and more people want to watch video on demand. They'll be turning to their favorite portals where they typically get their news, you know, textual news, and just an extension of that will be video. And so I think the infrastructure to securely deliver that, especially as this, a lot of this content, video content, is monetized via advertising, the infrastructure is the biggest demand there, and that effectively that build-out has to be there in order to support this video revolution.
So how do you think marketers should be looking at the importance of video? I realize that there's another analyst at Think Equity that covers advertising per se, but I mean, just from your perspective as you know, a young person covering this industry, what do you think it should be?
Well, I think one of the more interesting aspects of kind of marketing and online video advertising, if that's kind of what the question is for the first time you have a channel in which the advertiser has tools to know specifically who is watching what. So as we've kind of written about in the past, it's the intelligence of the Internet that allows marketers to reach the individual for the first time, as opposed to more of a broad-based approach used in linear broadcast. I also think that you'll see more and more advertising as a form of entertainment, not just marketing. So, for instance, you know, on linear broadcast in the TV world, they say, you know, well, we assume our market audience is between 18 and 58. Actually, on the Internet, there are tools to understand that the person is probably, you know, male or female. They're in this geography, and they're probably between a more, I'd say, tightly fitted demographic. And by, number one, having that information, and number two, understanding what people are watching, you'll be able to actually scan the content they're watching and serve up an ad based on, you know, a lot more relevant and dynamic attributes of the actual content and the viewer.
So what do you think are the challenges as you, you know, look out about all this? I mean, does it get to the point that people are just glued to their computers and never get up and, you know, and they just are always glued to their iPods, whatever? I mean, do you ever think about that aspect of it?
That's a possibility. I think one of the things you have to sort of look at is the convergence of the television and the Internet, and whether you believe the importance and relevance of either medium. Will they converge to be a hybrid? Will linear broadcast in 10 to 15 years be very, you know, less relevant? Will everything be video on demand? I mean, I've heard the argument that people say, well, you need to have these broadcast channels such as radio and television understand, you know, where the hits are. You're not going to spend a ton of money on development of content and just have it sort of be video on demand or a live event on the Internet. You know, Think Equity, we tend to think that the Internet will become the global broadcast channel, but, you know, the question still remains. One of the two biggest challenges are digital rights management, so the ability to deliver that content to the Internet, your set-top box, your PC, your mobile phone, if that's where you care to watch it, and, you know, international rights versus domestic rights, and then, you know, pushing that one step further, you know, is the Internet actually going to be the broadcast channel of choice? And if it is, you know, there's no real remote control yet to find exactly what you want. And when you already have sort of pre-programmed content and you just have a remote control to surf through it, that's a little bit different than, you know, logging on or turning on a machine that's sort of always on and having access to any content in the world, because there really is no cost other than the cost to store it, and you don't need a massive audience to monetize it.
So who acts as a remote control today, in your opinion?
You know, that's the $64,000 question that I struggle with. I think people today go to portals or YouTube or a content entertainment site, you know, kind of to get their news, and video is just a new extension of that. I think in the future, you know, text search will turn into video search. And I think that'll be a prevalent tool. I know there are some private companies in this field trying to create, quote-unquote, a remote control for video watching. And I think over time there should be a level of intelligence which kind of identifies what you have watched on a proactive basis and sort of pushes content to you based on what your previous preferences are, kind of similar to how an RSS feed works.
So what really excites you about the medium?
what really excites me about the medium.
Yeah.
I think that there is an infinite possibility in terms of what is, you know, known as the long tail, Chris Anderson and his theory about there's sort of a market for each type of content out there, where with, you know, take linear broadcast, for example, they only show Shark Week on the Discovery Channel because, you know, they can only get a certain number of advertisers and an audience to watch that specific content over a period of time. In the internet television world, effectively, you could have Shark Week on demand all the time because there's an audience for that content. People are either willing to pay for that on a download-own basis, subscription, or they'll watch advertising to get it. And then I think you sort of, if you look at the front end of the head of the long tail, you've got major traditional media companies and where most of the content will be watched, kind of the 80-20 rule. But then there's this opportunity for sort of creative documentaries and filmmaking in which, you know, you have cheap enough hardware equipment to post content on the web. If it's creative enough, with the viral nature of the internet, you become, you know, famous or infamous overnight, and there actually is probably a market for all that content. And so it kind of works itself out, but there's effectively a new market, or there will be a new market, you know, beyond the YouTubes of the world, sort of this creative filmmaking, if you will, or documentaries, where people can actually post their stuff on the internet, and there's an audience for each specific type of content. And I think that sort of increases the medium of, you know, media, if you will, several fold from kind of linear broadcast and the movie, you know, short form documentary. I mean, effectively, you can have a Sundance Film Festival by people who've never heard of. It could make very creative pieces of work, and they'll effectively outsource the monetization and distribution aspects of that. But, you know, there'll be a lot of good content on the web just because it's a cheap medium to store and distribute your content.
So in your opinion, then, obviously, you think marketers should be looking at video and really dealing with that over audio.
Yes, I think video is the most engaging dynamic out there today. And even if you take it one step further, not just video on the internet, but take, for example, digital video in the case of advertising, more and more as the cost of hardware goes down, you'll see in places in which static point of presence advertising, whether it be at McDonald's or it's at a, you know, a retail outlet like Gap, you'll see digital signage being used. And there is research that suggests that, I think it's by Arbitron, found that 29% of consumers who have seen a video in a store say they bought a product they were not planning on buying after seeing the product featured on the in-store video. So there's the ability to engage a consumer in terms of selling them right on the spot, where, you know, you take an example someplace like a Costco, where it's a lot of just prosumer buying. People go in there and they don't, you know, they walk out with, you know, twice the bill they expected to pay. I think video just enhances that because it gives you all the information you want kind of on a real-time basis.
Really? Awesome. Well, Darren, thank you so much for your time. I've been talking to Darren Moftahi, who's Vice President of Equity Research of Digital Media for Think Equity. So thanks very much for joining me in Marketing Voices.
You're welcome.
And until next week, for all my listeners and viewers, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.